Welcome to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is IBM Business Process Manager and WebSphere Lombardi Edition, Understanding the Effects of Migrating Snapshots with In-Flight Instances. Today's presenter is Mark Filley. Mark joined IBM through the acquisition of Lombardi Software in February 2010. At Lombardi, Mark developed and maintained the customer training systems based on a cloud infrastructure. Mark joined Level 2 support later in October. He brings a great depth of Lombardi knowledge to the Business Process Manager L2 support team. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Mark.
Thanks, Colleen, and welcome everyone to my presentation on in-flight instances and migration. This is always a really big topic we see in support when someone moves to a new version and maybe strange things happen or maybe not expected because, you know, when you migrate, you think maybe everything's going to work. Well, we're going to look at a couple of examples today where things will move on as expected and maybe not so, depending on your circumstance. And these are all very basic examples, and the exports that I made, those are also available on the web for you to download and play with as well. And I will also, in the next few days, write up a blog entry which includes some more detail that we'll talk about here in this presentation, and I'll also go through and I'll give you a map out of the different instances and where they were in the process and then the effects that they had after the migration. All right, let's go to slide 2, please. So let's do a quick review of kind of what we're doing today. So we're going to talk about in-flight instances and what those mean and snapshots and when you deploy and all the options you have there. We'll go through the example version that I did for version 1 and version 1.5 of my business process. And the demonstration will be just kind of showing the BPD, and then we'll open up for questions. Let's go to slide 3, please. So what exactly is an in-flight instance? So if you think about it, when you have, you know, your BPD and you're running along, each time you start one, that's an instance. Now, within your instance, you can have many tasks. Those are the little activities that people do, or maybe a system lane activity does, or maybe some sort of UCA or WebSphere a web service call that goes out and gathers data or sends out data, or maybe an email. You know, each one of those is a task. And so you'll have many, many open tasks for one instance, right? And for tasks, there's the code 32 means that it's closed. There are other code values that can mean new and received and stuck and, you know, all those different types of values. And that's actually located in a table on the database. You can go and review all that. We also have that published as a tech note as well. So once all your tasks are closed, then your instance will close. So once you get to that final end, that final round dot on your BPDs, you will get a closed instance, which is usually 2 for closed or 4, which is terminated. So if it's not one of those values, then the instance is considered to be open. And when it's open or not closed, those will be the ones that are migrated to the new snapshot if you choose to migrate. Let's go to slide 4, please. As you develop your business process, you may have different ways of iteration. So some may be fast in that you launch a new version of your app every week, or maybe it's a long time. Maybe it's 2 weeks or a month or 2 months between the versions. So when you get to deploy a new version, particularly in production, what you'll want to do is to carefully consider whether you need to migrate or leave the instances. Now, in production, the option to delete is not available. We don't allow you on servers marked production to delete when you install a new snapshot. So you really have either migrate or leave for production. Now, the one drawback about the migrate option is that it's all or nothing. There's no way to specify, I only want to migrate instances that started on this date or on this activity or that are on after this milestone or assigned to this user group. It's all or nothing. So that's why when you move from version 1 to version 2 of your application, that you want to be very careful if you choose to migrate that you have fully tested all possibilities of your application and that you know what parts changed. You know, sometimes through the development process, you're like, oh, wait, you know, I need to add a new variable, or I need to add a new swim lane, or I need to add a new gateway, or, well, you know, that gateway, you know, that works, but we need to evaluate off of a different variable, or maybe we need to have two conditions or three conditions, or maybe we need to, instead of, you know, this one variable, we need to choose a different variable to evaluate off of. So that's something that we're going to look at, too, in the example. The other thing about this is that if you choose to leave, so those instances will stay on their target path. So if you had 10 instances on snapshot 1, and then you install snapshot 2, you choose leave, snapshot 1, those instances will continue until they finish. They will not jump to snapshot 2. There's only one case that happens, and that would be with the UCA. The other thing is to consider here is that there are different ways of starting your instance, right? So there's through the portal or through like a JMS message, or maybe you have some sort of email program that once you get an email, it'll start the process, usually through JMS or some other method, or maybe it's through like a REST API in version 7.5, or maybe it's a web API, which that's available in the WE series and the VPM series. You have some sort of API call which starts an instance, and all those are possible. But be careful that by default, when you start those, it'll start on the default instance, the default snapshot. So usually that's the desired behavior, but there are cases where you can specify with the right arguments. You can specify to do an older snapshot. That won't be covered here, but just kind of letting you all know as to, you know, hey, well, why did some old snapshot have instances? Let's go ahead and go to slide 5, please. So some of the basic things that I kind of covered in the last, I kind of overwent, but the four main things that I kind of see that happens is there's cosmetic changes. So that is, you know, we've changed the way a coach looks. Those HTML forms that users fill out, maybe we added some graphics, or changed the coloring, or maybe we changed font size or moved around tables and made it look nicer so the user experience is better. That's one option, one thing. Changing the main business variable. So in your process, you probably have one or two or maybe many large variables that you use to track all the data for your process. So maybe one of them is employee data or a contract or some sort of claim number, and it has all the IDs and data and all kinds of things that you need for your business process. And maybe from version 1 to version 2, you realize, well, you know, we need to add this variable. Or maybe, well, for future sake, because of maintainability, we, instead of having a whole bunch of small variables, we're going to break that and collapse those down into many complex variables. So maybe that happened. Modification of flows. So as you're going through, you have gateways and decisions. And then you can also even have like a simple join or something. Maybe you had two different flows, like in a parallel process, and they join later. Well, what if you wanted to get rid of that parallel process and that instead of joining later, they just go on their own path and end? Or maybe you decide at some point, well, we really need a decision here to go down two different paths, or maybe three different paths. Or maybe you had one variable you want to evaluate on, and now you need to evaluate on a different variable. So that kind of is something to consider when you go from one version to the next. The next thing are UCAs. The thing about UCAs, the undercover agents, when one executes, it'll call a corresponding event. most common that I see are start message events, that you're going along and you need to send something back to start another process. And then probably the second most common would be that you're in a process and you need to go back and move the token to a different section of your process, like a very large, complex BPD. You get down to, you know, one path, and it's like, well, once we get here, we have to go back to the beginning or back to some other middle part, and then you can do that with the intermediate message event and move your token that way. Now, the careful thing with this is that once that UCA executes and it sends the JMS message to the corresponding start or intermediate message event, what happens is that there's only one unique key, and so it will only fire on the default snapshot. So if you have multiple snapshots active in your system for the same process app, when you get to a UCA and it executes, it will only execute on that default snapshot. Now, it's possible for you to have, let's say, version 1 and version 2, right? Well, you could put version 1 as the default and version 2 is not the default, or if that suits your business need, right? So then UCAs would then go off of the version 1. But generally, you probably don't want to do that. So all of these four things, the cosmetic changes, the business variables, the modification of flow, and UCAs, I have those four items in my example. Now, keep in mind, my example is very small and just did a couple of things, and your process for your business is going to be a lot more complex. However, the same principles will apply. Let's go to slide 6, please. So here's an example of my process. I have three swim lanes and one system lane, and then the first row, the first swim lane at the top, we have two coaches. It says enter employee data, enter contract data. Then we have a gateway, which evaluates based on a business variable, the contract project value. And then based on that value, either goes to another swim lane for group 2, or it goes down to group 3, and so on. And so kind of here, what I did was I just have a couple of, so I'm populating the business data for the employees and the contract data, and one route goes straight down to assigning employee data, and then it goes to a system lane, and then back up to displaying the data again. Another way is it goes down to group 3 directly, and then it fires a UCA that goes to a second BPD. This second BPD, not pictured here, is just two coaches on two different swim lanes. So for my example here that I did, I had one that was sitting here on the employee business data. I had three sitting here on the entry contract data. Then I had one that I had three sitting here on the assigned employee, which is the straight down from the decision gateway. And then following that same path, I had one sitting at display data, so that's on that top line again. Then I had another token sitting, another instance sitting at display data too. Now that's in that group 3. That's in the third swim lane. So that's after the gateway and right before the UCA. Then I also had one sitting on the first activity in the second BPD, which was fired after, fired from the UCA. All right. So we have a couple here before the gateway. We have some that went down one path of the gateway and one that went down the second path of the gateway. And we also have one on the second BPD, which is called from the UCA. All right. Go ahead and go to slide 7, please. So here I have some circles. I have yellow circles and red circles. The yellow circles are places that I made cosmetic changes. So that meant I added some graphics or changed the text color on the screen. And then the red changes, those were bigger changes. So for the decision gateway, I decided to have, instead of evaluating based on the contract value, the business came back to the developers and was like, you know, we really don't, on the contract value, yes, that's important and we need to keep that data, but that's not the most important in deciding where the next activity is. It's more of how many members are required for the project. So please add a variable that asks for the required number of members for the project. So now this gateway is evaluating with the number of members and not the value of the project, right? And then the business also came back and said, you know, this second evaluation by group three, you know, we really don't need it. And we found it was kind of redundant, you know, that later on, you know, after in that second BPD, we already do some reviews, so we need to remove that step. Let's just get rid of that. Well, okay, so this is what the business and the development team agreed to, and then they say, okay, let's go, let's publish this out. Well, now we have, we decided that we're going to go ahead and do the migrate, you know, after some testing. Well, in this particular case, we have some interesting effects. So, as I'd said earlier, the spot, so where that red circle is and there's no activity, I had an instance sitting right there. Well, after I migrated, that instance failed immediately. And if you go back through the process inspector, you'll see that it failed, and it gives an error, something to the effect of, you know, can't find next flow object because it doesn't know where to go. You basically swept the rug out from underneath its feet, and then it doesn't know where to go. Even though the next step, you know, this call UCA still exists and it would make sense, it could flow down that line, the BPD engine has no idea where to go next because you just swept out from underneath, we just deleted that activity, and actually that task fails, and there's no way to recover from that particular instance. So that task and then that instance, the only way to recover is to actually delete and start over. That's going to be a failed instance and isn't going to work. Now, I remember back up here, we changed the gateway. Well, one of the things I did in this test, so see how there's these two activities which fill in data from coaches. Well, what I did was, just for interesting sake, I actually had the contract data open. I had the screen open. It was an active in-flight instance, and I migrated the instances. Well, that token underneath went ahead and moved to that next version. Well, so it migrated, and the coach was still open on the user's screen. The user clicked submit, and that instance failed. Why? Because the first coach in version 1 did not have the member count, on the number of members for the project. It only had the project value. So what did it do? It failed. Now, in this particular case, it failed, and the token went right back to where it was on the enter contract data. And I was able to go through the process inspector and click resume. And so what did it do? It brought up the same coach. I lost my values that I'd entered because it's a new coach, and the context execution was wiped out. But that's kind of okay in a way that we still retain all the previous tasks and all the data that goes with it. In this case, it's only one, but maybe in your process there's a lot more tasks that came before it. So we relaunch the coach for enter contract data, and look, we have the new image I added there, the new text colors, and I have the new field for number of members on the project. I enter the number of members, and the task moves to the next activity, which is the gateway, and it executes, and it either goes down the path to the UCA or it goes down the other path to assign employee. So those were two examples of where it failed. Now, what about all the other instances? We had some that were sitting on inter-employee data and inter-contract data. Well, those, when the users come back and start those activities, they are greeted with the new coach, which has changed with some colors and graphics. Now, the fourth on the first line, the fourth activity, display data. Now that one, I did two things. Not only did I change the coloring of the coach, the business also had decided, you know, for this particular activity, when we display it to users, we need to differentiate based on what city the project is in, because the different cities, you know, they have different project requirements, and, you know, small cities versus big cities. And so within that human service, there is a gateway which says, if the city is Austin, it is one coach, and if it's not, then it's a different coach. Well, in this particular case, all of the instances, both the ones that were migrated and that successfully got there, and even new ones, so all of them go and they flow, and they get there. Now some of the cities, which that they were like, you know, Austin, Chicago, and L.A. So when they get there to that coach, they will evaluate as the two new coaches, you know, so one group going to Austin and one not going to Austin. Now, that's probably a desired effect, right? You know, you wanted that when different cities were involved, that you wanted to have two different coaches. But, you know, maybe you really did want for those version ones to go ahead and finish out, or maybe it's okay that they both kind of move on to the next more complicated setup where you had two different coaches. So why is this important? Well, you know, that was a very simple choice, right? You know, it just went from one coach that was colored orange and one that was colored blue. Then, you know, but what if in your next version of version 1.5, you had a more complicated setup where you were actually performing some sort of calculation or adding data to some sort of system of record? Well, you know, if that was not the intended purpose of that coach earlier on, you know, or that instance, well, then that might not be an intended behavior. Now, the other thing that happened was that we had some sitting on that second BPD, right? And I don't have a picture of it here, but in that second BPD, I added another decision gateway. Now, that decision gateway happened to be on project value. So that variable was in both version 1 and version 1.5. So when the tokens landed there for the instances, they just went ahead and executed it. And there was no problem there as far as instances failing. But what's interesting, though, is that when those tokens went down, they all went and jumped ship to the new version, because the UCA was upgraded to version 1.5, and so it went and executed against the 1.5 start message event, which was a BPD that had a decision gateway. So, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that UCA executes on the default snapshot, which we talked a bit about earlier. And so the other test that I did, so I migrated all my instances. Well, the thing is, there was some web page somewhere that we had out there, and somehow it didn't quite get updated. So when someone started that process, they went down version 1.0. And it went happily down. You know, the first two coaches went through the decision gateway, and it went to the review, which was eliminated in version 1.5, and then it went to the UCA. And guess what? It jumped over to the version 1.5. Well, if I was a user or a group of users that was working on that task and it looked like it was the old project version, you know, the version 1.0, we would have, oh, yeah, right. So, you know, in version 1.0, we have to do these certain things to the process app, right? Well, then once they get to the last one, and you've already jumped ship to 1.5 on that UCA, it's like, wow, whoa, something different happened. This screen does not look like my other screens. What happened? So maybe you'll get a call or whatever, like, hey, why is this different? Is this going to work? Now, in my particular example with the second BPD and the UCAs, the decision gateway just kind of decided whether you ended or you went to a second coach. Not a big deal. And those coaches, I also added some extra coloring to the text. So in this bigger case, relatively harmless. But, you know, what if you really didn't want those instances to move down that path? Or what if, in this case, when you made a decision gateway or made some other change to that second BPD that flowed off of UCA, well, you know, what if you didn't want that to happen. You know, what if you wanted them still to run on that version 1.0? You know, maybe it's something that's not exactly what you intended. Now, the other thing about this, particularly about UCS, because they're kind of really interesting in our project in BPM. So, you know, this example I have here, I have it as a execute on event. So as soon as the token gets there, it will execute. Well, you know, what if you have a something that executes on a specific event, like let's say it executes on a certain variable value, or what if you have a timer UCA where it executes every, you know, week or once every hour? Well, once you move to that next version, it'll start executing on that new snapshot every time, that you're not going to have any more UCAs fire onto the old version. So that's something to kind of think about as well. And I know these are just some simple examples. We did change in business variable. We deleted an activity which changed the flow. We made some cosmetic changes, and we made some changes that related to the UCA, right? These four simple examples. Now, just think about your process and how complex it is and how many BPDs you have and how many activities you have and how many UCAs you have. And what if you were to change any one of those? Well, what would happen when you go to the next version? Yeah, it's going to be something that you're going to really need to test. And some of them, in some particular cases, it may be difficult to test, or maybe you won't know until you get there. That's kind of the one interesting thing. Let's go ahead and go to slide 8, please. So this was the example display data coach, which I used in several places on the diagram. And so you can see version 1 on the left side, which only has a straight-through activity. And the second one is version 2, version 1.5, where there's a gateway, and it goes to one path and a second path, depending on what city you're talking about. So that's kind of, you know, where we're at. And in my example, you know, it's relatively harmless. It just displays the same coach, except one is green and one is orange and one is blue, you know. But what if you had a more drastic effect? Or what if the effect was, you know, debiting some sort of balance or adding some sort of balance somewhere, or assigning a role or assigning some sort of value to some other project? And it's like, oops, well, you know, we moved here, and I don't know if that's what we wanted for the version 1 instances. You know, version 2, yeah, that's okay. Version 1, I don't know. So something to think about. Let's go ahead and go to slide 9. So we'll just kind of do a quick summary here. You know, I really can't stress enough how critical it is to test between versions. What I will say is that if you honestly 100% know that you just made a few cosmetic changes of fonts or graphics or whatever, you know, you're probably going to be okay. I'd still do testing, but, you know, you're not going to end up with a derailed train. But if you've done anything else, if you've done some changes to flow lines, if you have a lot of UCAs, if you've added some business variables or changed them in any way, or maybe you change the evaluation of some gateways, you really are going to need to do extensive testing. And so first, what you're going to want to do is do your extensive testing on your new version, your version 1.5. Can you load test that, and can you make that work? Now, the second thing is you're going to want to test that those instances again. So you're going to want to test migrating instances if that's something that you want to do. You know, one way to do that is to kind of fill it with some pre-populated data. You could, you know, run a load test on version 1, deploy a new snapshot, and then load test again. And another way to do it would be to actually get a copy of your production database and put it in a controlled environment and then run tests on those instances and see what happens. And one reason why I would stress, if at all possible, to test on production data is that as much as the developers and testers and business folks try to model the load test engine, it's never going to be as accurate as what real users do to your system. You know, there's all sorts of ways that they can click and add data or, you know, different things that maybe you didn't think about. And, you know, those actually may have been some of the things you put in your next version, right? That you saw users were doing things like, oops, well, you know, we got to take that into effect. You know, we need to go through and make sure that this value doesn't happen. We got to make sure that that the task moves to the right group of people. Like if you found that one swim lane or one group, you know, like, oh, we need to add more people. Well, those are all going to be things to think about when you move from one version to the next. It's going to be really important. So, yeah, I really can't stress enough how important it is to test between versions of your process app and to kind of keep all that into consideration. And one thing that's great with version 7 and on is that we have versioning, right? So if you are looking at your version 1, you can look at that BPD, and then you can switch over and look at the snapshot you're going to deploy. You'd be like, okay, look, well, I have a rough idea of what's changed, or you can ask your developers, and then you can figure out, okay, this is some things that we need to test. We need to make sure that we include these scenarios in our test case for migrating to the next version, version 1.5. So, yeah, let's see. In addition to the Info Center, I went ahead and just added the wiki for BPM. This is a community-supported wiki, and it has lots of good information for all the way from TeamWork 6 to BPM 7.5, and they also have some examples. There is also the WebSphere forums, which you can also post questions and ask things. And so that's kind of some additional resources for you to look at, which would be good if you haven't already. All right, so that's kind of where we are in a very simple nutshell of migrating instances. It is possible. People do it all the time. Just be careful and be aware of the facts of, you know, what may happen when you go from one version to the next. All right. Colleen, I'll turn it over to you. We can move to slide 10.
Thank you, Mark, for a great presentation. At this point, Jeff, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, there are no questions on the phone.
All right. I also don't see any in the group chat. It looks like there are no questions, so at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Mark, for presenting today.
Thank you.